pledge allegiance, Colonel.
Somebody, can you lead us?
Yep. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. You may be seated.
Director Haroko?
Yes, sir.
Sheriff Daniels is in the room.
Yep.
Detective Cook's in the room. Commander Figueroa is in the room. Mr. Johnson's in the room. Ms. Kelly's in the room. Detective Crazier's in the room. Director Porfiri's in the room. Professor Robinson in the room.
Here.
Sheriff Schuster, we can see you on the TV. Can you hear us?
I got you now. Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Colonel Silbert's in the room and Chief Oskia's in the room.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Director. Opening comments from any board members? Can we begin?
This one's dead. That was it.
Hearing none. Back to you for Director for your introduction, presentation, announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know I tell you every month that I'll keep these brief, but today I'm going to actually keep them brief. Be a man of my word.
Close to the holidays.
I tend to start talking and I get out of control, so I want to talk about all the good things these folks have done over the last month, but I will keep them brief today. Your independent advisor for final action cases is Rob Pulver from the AAG. He's an AAG from the Attorney General's Office. Mr. Pulver, thank you for being here. Darren Martinez. Darren Martinez joined us 6 months ago, something along those lines. It was a win for us. For those of you who don't know, he was the first Arizona Post compliance specialist. To my knowledge, that wasn't a former peace officer. He worked for the Tempe Police Department. I recognized several years ago, working with Sylvia Moyer, that he was phenomenal. I recruited him multiple times. He turned me down multiple times, and ultimately, he agreed to come over. Tempe must have made him an incredible offer, and he is going back to the city of Tempe. In my opinion, the city of Tempe will be a better place beginning next week. Arizona Post will be just a little less bright beginning next Monday. But Darren's a great person. He's proven to us that if you're smart, you're articulate, you're a hard worker, you can pick up this job as a compliance specialist. He's never been a law enforcement officer in the past. So we could look to change our model in the future. But to Darren, thank you for the time you did give us. It was great. I'm glad to at least got to work with you at some point. I'll never stop trying to bring you back, just FYI, but we're all really happy for you. So congratulations. We continue to have one board vacancy for large city police chief. I'm still working with boards and commissions in the governor's office to fill that seat. And then the last thing for announcements is a reminder that we'll have no board meeting in December. Based on the input from the board the last month. And with that, I'll have to take any questions any of the board members might have regarding announcements.
Any questions, comments? Darren, thank you for your service to Post. We appreciate that. You know, good luck at your stomping grounds back there at Tempe. So, thank you. Back to you, sir, for your report.
Yep, I'll go into my director's report. Again, I'm going to keep this very brief. As we talked about earlier this year, we started doing academy audits. The rules called for academy audits. And over the years, based on finances and personnel, we just didn't have the personnel to really go in and do comprehensive academy audits. Under your guidance, with a good budget, we were able to hire more people for the basic academy team. Lori Wade and her team are going out interacting with all 17 of our statewide academies. They're doing on-site visits. They're communicating with them daily. I'm happy to say that as of last week, we had one academy that had a couple small issues. We were able to resolve those, and now all 17 academies are in compliance for 2022, and beginning in January 2023, they'll start all over again. We believe we owe it to not only to the board, but we owe it to the academies, law enforcement statewide, as well as the communities we all serve, that our academies are all operating within the guidelines and the rules and providing the best level of training possible and producing excellent Arizona law enforcement officers. So we will continue to do that under your guidance and your support. I talked about last time we do those, our executive leadership programs. We do two a year. Chuck is in negotiations to get three. We're still working through that. We're always looking for new content. And on that front, I have a friend in California. He was invited to a command school at the Museum of Tolerance. You've never heard of it. It's a Holocaust museum in L.A. I was invited to, they were very gracious and gave me a seat to attend a two-day command school there. It was an excellent training class. If you've never been to the museum was amazing. The staff was amazing. Obviously, it's very moving. I've been now to a Holocaust museum in Washington, D.C. I was fortunate to go to one in Israel, and I've been to one now in L.A. They're always moving to me. It always provides me a different perspective of the world. And
good things. I don't know if there's anything we could bring back here because I think it was so important to have access to the actual museum. But again, we're always looking to bring in new and upcoming leadership training for Arizona law enforcement. So again, thank you for your support and allowing me to go take those options when they're presented to me to try to identify additional leadership training. And again, I would like to tell you what I attended on your behalf. I always attend the East Valley Police Chiefs meeting once a month. It's virtual. Again, I like to hear what's going on around the Valley and how we can help law enforcement agencies be successful. I attended it's called the Copper and Rim Country meeting. That was in Superior, so it's the Gila County, and all the surrounding police agencies get together once a month. I attend that meeting. I attended that last week. Last week, I sat on the Constable Board. As you know, per statute, the Arizona Post Director is a member of the Constable Board, Ethics, Standards, and Training Board. So I sit on that once a month. I had that last week. And I just want to tell you that 2022 has been a really good year. It's a really busy year. The work that these folks have completed over the last year is pretty amazing. We're in the process of compiling all of our statistics for 2022. I'll give you an update in January of 2023. And hopefully by the end of January, first part of February, we'll have out our annual report that I'll share with all of you to show the accomplishments. Again, we couldn't be successful without the support of each one of you on the board. And like I said, with that, I'm brief, but I'm happy to answer any questions any of the board members may have.
Thank you, Director. Thank you, staff. Any questions, comments? There are none. Thank you. Next item, consent agenda. Comments for modification on the consent agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion. And for the record, Mr. Johnson is recused. Sandy.
Jamie Kelly, I move to accept the consent agenda.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Next, agenda item E, Pima County Sheriff's Department petition. Mr. Brecker, over to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is a petition by the Pima County Sheriff's Department. The applicant is Mr. Victor Varela. During the hiring process, Mr. Varela disclosed that in 2019, when he was a recruit and attending the Basic Law Enforcement Training Academy, that he was dishonest to academy staff about who owned a piece of police equipment. He had forgotten to bring his department-issued tourniquet, but had his own with him. Mr. Varela was terminated by PCSD for the dishonesty, but the termination report to Arizona Post was not marked for misconduct. Mr. Varela's dishonest conduct to Academy staff in 2019 is disqualifying conduct under Rules 109A8 and A12. Sheriff Manos, in his petition letter, explains that there has been a significant time lapse to show that Mr. Varela's character has been redeemed. The board's analysis should proceed under Rule 103G. The board should consider if the best interests of the law enforcement profession are served and the public welfare and safety are not jeopardized. The bureau chief, Gilbert Dominguez, an XO with PCSD, is here present today to address the board, and I understand that Mr. Varela is present here as well.
Thank you, Mr. Bracto. Any questions for Mr. Bracto? There are none. Commander, I said
yes,
sir. Good morning to you, sir. Come on up, and the floor is yours.
Good morning, Chair, Board. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Brechtel. I did, in fact, bring Mr. Victor Varela. He's the strapping young man there in the white T-shirt and tie. I'd like to just cut to the chase. I've gotten to know Victor pretty well, and it's not because we drove up here from Tucson and I asked him a bunch of questions. Before my promotion to Bureau Chief, I was a Human Resources Division Commander, and as a corrections officer, Victor hadn't had a vaccination during the COVID outbreak and had to have some time away from the jail while he had to await the extent of having COVID before he could get that vaccination to work. So I got to know him a bit in a working setting, and that's what I'd like to expound on. Victor never minimized the lie. He realized at the time that he told an instructor that this was his issued tourniquet when it wasn't. It was a regrettable, uttered mistake. and he put that into memorandum. He was never asked again until about an hour later there at the academy by the class officer if that was his issued tourniquet. And without hesitation, Victor did not try and stick to his lie or die on that hill. He immediately said, no, that is not my issued tourniquet. So he brought forth, when pulled in front of his peers, in front of everybody, uttered the correct words, as opposed to that regrettable mistake he made when asked by the instructor if that was the correct tourniquet. My company, and I've seen it in the memorandum, Victor calls it just a knee-jerk utterance, a mistake that he wholeheartedly regrets. He knew he was a conscientious recruit in the academy in 2019. He had been performing well. We had had a change in leadership at the academy at the time, and it felt to him as if, oh no, the first 9 weeks haven't counted for anything. I've got to almost start over. It's no excuse. It's just some of the feelings that he felt at the time. He looks back and he says he wished he could slow it all down, but he can't because it happened in 2019 and you can't change it. But what Victor did was he didn't allow this to drag him down and seek other employment. He wants to be a law enforcement officer. As a boy, his stepfather, who's now a retired Border Patrol agent out of Texas, Southern Texas area, wore a uniform to work. And as a boy, he remembers and being inspired by seeing his stepfather put on a uniform to go to work. So it is in his heart to be a law enforcement officer. As the patrol operations chief, I do have a vested interest in seeing Victor succeed because he would come to patrol and I would have some bodies. That aside, Victor had the opportunity to prove to PCSD about his character. So after some time and distance away and reassessing his life, Victor applied to be a corrections officer with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Placing that time and distance away from his regrettable mistake, he was hired as a corrections officer. And moved into an 8-week academy in 2021, and for the last year has been an exceptional employee, so much so that he's been given assignments in areas of the jail like intake, where it's usually reserved or usually assigned to more tenured, more mature people, but Victor, having probably reassessed his life, has developed some maturity and some moral direction that he's recovered from that regrettable mistake that he made in 2019. I've spoken to supervisors, and Victor has been commenting on as being dependable, but not so where he feels that his success doesn't need to be approached in some level of improvement. Even with positive feedback, I've been told that he's looked to want improving even further. How can I improve on what I'm doing? So as time and distance went between that regrettable mistake for Victor and the opportunity to be hired as a sheriff's deputy in the Pima County Sheriff's Department, the Sheriff's Department felt at this point, as do I, that the time and distance, everything that took place, he has separated himself from. While in the Corrections Academy for the Sheriff's Department, Victor was voted by his peers as the class president. He even received an award in the name of a fallen corrections officer from PCSD. Currently, Victor is in week 10, so he's done 2 week 9s, and now he's on to his first week 10 from 2019 until now. He has been voted by his peers as the vice president currently and is doing well. He's never been on any sort of academic or attitude watch, so to speak, while in the academy setting. In speaking with Victor every day, he can't not forget the regrettable mistake that he made. I believe in the academy setting, we should at times consider mistakes can be made. This one was about integrity. He doesn't deny that. This was a big deal. But when asked that very second time in front of his peers, he did give the right answer. He told the truth. There's so much more to say about Victor. I've gotten to know him actually quite well. He comes from a large family. He's from Douglas, moved to Tucson, and wants to be in the law enforcement profession. In regards to the decision made by the administration at the time, in that academy setting, we turned something that could have been a learning opportunity, a very poignant learning opportunity, into a larger mistake, especially after he made the second, the correct answer the second time when asked by his supervisor at the time and not the instructor. Victor at the time didn't know that the gravity he felt it in his heart that he'd done something he wasn't proud of, but didn't understand the gravity of the time. He certainly understands today, sitting there, he'd probably nod his head, that he understands the gravity of the situation that he sits in today in front of you, ladies and gentlemen, as well, too. Victor has the opportunity in his time between the time and distance of his regrettable mistake to graduate from Pima Community College in Administration of Justice. He was working towards those credits, has received some in a corrections officer academy setting, and if allowed, would be able to complete the academy and be able to receive the associate's degree from Pima Community College. Better, I guess, focusing his adult life, which at 25 years old is really in the dawn of his adult life. So I'd like to be able to provide him that second opportunity, and that's what PCSD is doing for him at this point by having him in the academy. We vetted Victor Varela. We knew this wasn't something that Michelle discovered, that, hey, listen, you guys didn't disclose this to us when you gave us his background packet. It was something we knew. We have a proven employee for the last year with 2 years additional from the regrettable mistake with time and distance. That we can say that Victor is a well-performing individual in a law enforcement setting in very critical positions within our jail, not just outside watching a gate or anything to that effect. He's dealing on a daily basis, or had been until he entered the police academy, had been dealing on a daily basis with split-second decisions regarding use of force in an intake ID realm. The intake ID area is very much like the street. You're dealing with that arrested individual who is now maybe coming off of a high or an intoxication that those ID units or those ID officers have to deal with. So you're making those split-second decisions on welfare, on the use of force, on your own safety and the safety of your coworkers. So we have a great deal of confidence, and I have a great deal of confidence in Victor. A little bit of background. In 2019, we did have a change in class officer. There was a bit of some promotion to the Sheriff's Department. So in week 9, Victor was introduced to a new officer. And I'm not trying to change what took place. There's no way I can, as you know. But there are probably some perceptions that anyone can kind of gather. Victor, having a new class officer, may have been in a different state of nervousness. The rapport that was developed by the former class officer perhaps was gone completely. You have a new class officer creating a new sense of nervousness for the recruits. That's not an excuse, and Victor doesn't make an excuse for himself. He realizes he told a lie on the spot when asked about the tourniquet, but again, corrected that when immediately asked by the class officer. The class officer, being new to the class, perhaps needed to or wanted to show a level of control. And this was the first thing that very same day that he put on his drill instructor hat had to deal with a regrettable mistake that Victor made. So there was a lot going on. The administration at the time perhaps could have tapped the brakes, slowed it down a bit, just to understand completely the gravity of the lie. Victor told a lie, and it is to you and I. And he admits that. It's just he wasn't looking to gain some monetary value, wasn't looking to gain some level of status. It was just a blurted out mistake, as he calls it, a knee-jerk reaction, I believe, is what he called it. So I thank you for your time. I could go on about Victor, but I wanted to get to the point regarding the decision before you in reference to Victor's future. And I'm confident with the time and distance that has taken place, the character that he's shown to the Sheriff's Department in Pima County has played a great role in your decision.
Thank you, Chief. We appreciate you being here today. And I apologize, I called you Commander. My guys are two of Commander.
I'm a Commander of the Bureau.
All right, well, I apologize for that. Board members, any questions for the Chief? And Mr. Valero, would you like to address the board? You don't have to if you don't want to. You can let your chief's words speak, or you have that opportunity. Come on up here. If you do that, come to the podium, please. If you do want to address this, come on up, please.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity for the petition. Everything that Chief Dominguez has said, it's true. It is a very regretful mistake that I made, and from the time that I made the mistake when I was 22 to now that I'm 25, I have feel that I have matured and gained a lot more experience, within that 3-year period. And if given the opportunity, I feel and I know in my heart that I can be and will be a great police officer if given the opportunity. Like I said, it was a knee-jerk reaction is what I call it. It kind of just came out, and when I was just addressed about it again, I fell on my sword, and, I said the truth, and to this day, it still haunts me. It was a very regrettable mistake, and I look back on it all the time, and it's definitely the one thing that I regret the most. But I just wanted to say thank you for this opportunity, and I hope I can become a police officer given the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Any questions for Victor? All right. Thank you both. Thank you, Chief. All right. Mr. Beckley, last comments.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, open up for discussion or a possible motion on this case.
Mr. Chair, Sheriff Schuster.
Yes, Sheriff. Floor is yours.
I'd like to make a motion based upon the petition submitted by the Pima County Sheriff's Department and pursuant to Rule 13-4-103G, I move that the board grant the petition for waiver on applicant Victor Varroa.
Thank you, Sheriff. Do we hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, I second.
Second by the Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signal by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. We wish you well in your career, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Chief, again.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Becker, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is the next case, the Dominic Horn case, if I may proceed.
Yes,
by all means. In your board packet is a copy of an administrative decision. Judge Adam Stone is the administrative law judge who presided over the hearing. I presented on behalf of the board. I was the advocate, the attorney. Because of that, you have Mr. Rob Pulver here as your independent advisor. In a moment, I will walk through a highlight of the findings of fact and the conclusions of law. And the state is going to recommend to you that you adopt this. But I want to hit on what is the recommended discipline in this recruit case. And as far as recommended discipline, post staff is recommending permanent denial. Mr. Horn was dishonest to officers who are actively investigating a crime in progress. And I will highlight that information to you shortly. The respondent is Mr. Dominic Horn. At the time of the incident in question, Mr. Horn was a recruit attending the Western Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy. The ALJ hearing took place on October 20th, 2022. However, Mr. Horn failed to appear at the hearing, and he is not represented by counsel, and he is not here today. Nonetheless, the hearing proceeded in his absence. As far as the findings of fact or what are in the judge's decision, at 2:09 a.m. on March 22, 2020, multiple officers responded to a fight outside of a bar in Lake Havasu City. One of the pedestrians at the scene was interviewed by the inbound officers who responded to this brawl. One of the officers contacted Mr. Horn, who was off duty and was with friends. Mr. Horn was questioned about his involvement in the fight, and Mr. Horn provided dishonest answers. Now, those dishonest answers are explained by the judge on page 3 of his decision in paragraph number 13, if you would like to review that. Judge Stone also concludes in his decision that Mr. Horn forcibly shoved an individual down who was not charging at him, and that is in on page 4 in paragraph 6. As far as conclusions of law, Judge Stone issued conclusions of law that Post established cause to deny Mr. Horn's peace officer certification under rules 109A7 and A12. Judge Stone writes in paragraph 7 on page 5 that Mr. Horn's lack of trustworthiness is unacceptable and jeopardizes public trust in the law enforcement profession. And again, in this particular case, Post staff is recommending permanent denial for the reasons stated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brackle. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oskus, I move to accept the Ministry of Law Judge's findings of fact and conclusion of law.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
I'll second your motion.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, see if you say an aye.
Aye.
All opposed, I say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. I would need a second motion for the conclusion. Any discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Horn. Denial is permanent.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
Left here, a second.
Thank you, Commander. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Brackton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next case will be 2020-025. Mr. Durant, over to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Gino Durant, your advocate attorney. Today I'm presenting an administrative law decision as well involving the case of respondent Woodrow Hoover. Mr. Hoover was not represented by counsel, and I do not believe he is present here today. On February 16, 2022, the board voted to initiate proceedings against the respondent, who was a former Phoenix Police recruit, Woodrow Hoover, and a notice of denial was issued. The denial charged that recruit Hoover had violated Post rules 13.4109.812. Specifically, it was alleged that Mr. Hoover had cheated on multiple exams while he was a recruit at the Phoenix Regional Police Academy. On October 18, 2022, I conducted a hearing in this matter before Administrative Law Judge Velva Moses Thompson at the Office of Administrative Hearings. I represented the board and presented the testimony of two witnesses and submitted 7 items of evidence. Mr. Hoover failed to appear at the hearing nor offer any defense. On November 7th, the judge issued her decision, which you have a copy of for your review. In the decision, the judge found that AC Post had proven the allegation by preponderance of the evidence. Specifically, she found that recruit Hoover cheated on 100 block and radio code tests in the academy on November 25th, December 9th, and December 11th of 2019 by both receiving answers from other recruits and giving answers to other recruits. Furthermore, she found that recruit Hoover's failure to attend the hearing or to present evidence in his defense shows that at this time, quote, he cannot be regulated and has failed to demonstrate that he meets the minimum qualifications for appointment as a peace officer pursuant to your rules. Again, a copy of the judge's decision has been provided for your review. As the board is aware, the success of law enforcement profession depends on the integrity of the men and women who serve in it. Unfortunately, in this case, the recruit Hoover demonstrated he cannot live up to those basic standards even while during his police training. Therefore, based on the facts of this case, AC Post staff would recommend that you adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law and permanently deny certification to recruit Hoover. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Any questions? Not urging a motion?
Make a motion to move to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Hoover. The denial is permanent.
We need 2 motions, I think, on that.
Okay. And I'll move to deny. No?
You need to find a conclusion first.
Okay. Yep. And I move to accept the administrative law judge's findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Do I hear a second?
The chairman has a second.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. I need a motion for discipline.
Mr. Chairman, I move to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Hoover, and the denial is permitted.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Next case, 2022-028. Mr. Duran, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dino Duran, your advocate attorney. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, Jesse Randall, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. The respondent is represented by Mr. Edmundo Robina. Neither respondent nor counsel is present today. The board...
Mr. Randall is here.
Oh, he is. I'm sorry. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent's peace officer certification at your meeting on September 26, 2022. The respondent is a former Wickenburg police officer. In order to settle the matter, the respondent has acknowledged the following. On October 22, 2021, respondent responded to a call for service concerning an unwanted person inside a private residence, but the suspect was gone upon his arrival. Shortly thereafter, the suspect came to the lobby of the Wickenburg Police Department wanting to discuss the matter, and soon thereafter he was placed under arrest. The suspect was placed in a holding cell and began banging his head against the cell door. Respondent supervisor entered the cell to secure the suspect, but the suspect continued to refuse to obey commands. Respondent then entered the cell himself and deployed his taser, expending two taser cartridges, both of which were ineffective. Respondent then struck the suspect with his taser on the shoulder and twice on the head, causing two lacerations. During the subsequent Wickenburg PD investigation, respondent acknowledged that he knew that taser strikes to the head were considered lethal force. Respondent, unfortunately, also had a prior history of discipline at Wickenburg PD, and at the time of this incident was under investigation for an unrelated incident. Respondent was terminated by Wickenburg PD. Respondent admits that his conduct was in violation of post rules, specifically 13.4109A8 and 12. The parties have agreed that the board will suspend respondent's peace officer certification for a period of 24 months during the dates listed in the agreement. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline, and the parties would request that you approve this agreement to resolve this case. And I'm happy to answer any questions, and I don't know if the respondent wishes to address the board.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Duran? Excuse me, guys. Respondent... Did you want to add anything?
Just something brief.
Sure. Come up to the podium and introduce yourself, please. Good morning.
Good morning. I just have a brief, quick statement for the board. Thank you for hearing me out. That quick thing where you said I acknowledged where the taser impact weapons to the head were lethal force. I acknowledge an impact weapon to the head is lethal force. I wasn't treating it as an impact weapon. That's neither here nor there. I want to thank the board and staff for letting me make a statement. Throughout this year, after my unfortunate dismissal as a police officer, I've gained quite a bit of education, humility, and especially maturity. I understand that my actions listed in the consent agreement are not becoming of what a police officer should be, and at no time I intentionally acted against my oath or put people in danger. I'm truly apologetic and accepted the previous discipline from my agency. I ask the board to take everything into consideration and realize that I'm still very passionate about being a law enforcement officer. I just want to thank the board, staff, everybody at AZ Post, my former police department, and I want you guys all to have a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Hey, hold on just a minute. Any questions, comments? All right. You may have a seat. Thank you so much for being here. Any discussion? Now I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Joe Perfuri, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 24-month suspension of Mr. Wasnow's peace officer certification beginning January 11, 2022 and ending January 11, 2024.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Here are none, all in favor of the motion, signal saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signal saying nay.
Nay.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-135. Mr. Duran, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gino Duran, your advocate attorney. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, Evan Silas, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. The respondent, I do not believe, is present, and he is not represented by counsel. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent's certification at your meeting on September 21st, 2022. Respondent is a former officer of the Hopi Resources Enforcement Service. In order to settle this matter, the respondent has acknowledged the following. On June 7, 2022, HRES officers responded to a report of a fight in progress at a residence in the village of Palaka. Respondent was on the scene. His face was bloody, and he had a cut on his head. Respondent admitted that he had been drinking alcohol and had been in a verbal argument with his brother. The fight escalated to a physical fight when respondent pushed his brother, and then the brother retaliated. Other family members who were there witnessed the incident called 911. Respondent was arrested for two violations of the Hopi Tribal Code, disorderly conduct and intoxication, which are considered minor offenses under the Hopi Tribal Code, which is essentially a misdemeanor. Respondent resigned from the HRES prior to the conclusion of an internal investigation. Respondent admits that his conduct was in violation of post rules, specifically 109A8 and 12. The parties have agreed the board will suspend respondent's peace officer certification for a period of 12 months during the dates listed in the agreement. And this proposal is within the range of permissible discipline. And I am happy to answer any factual questions.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Any questions? I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of Mr. Silas's peace officer certification beginning July 16, 2022 and ending July 16, 2023.
Thank you, sir. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signal saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signal saying nay. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-178. Mr. Duran, back to you.
Again, Gino Duran, your advocate attorney. Post-staff and respondent Sergio Anaya offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. The respondent is not present and is not represented by counsel. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent certification at your meeting on April 20th, 2022. Respondent is a former Gilbert Police Department recruit. In order to settle this matter, the respondent has acknowledged the following. September 15th, 2021, the applicant was attending the Gilbert Police Department Academy. On that date, applicant was observed by staff stenciling his name onto a white T-shirt in the locker room prior to physical conditioning. Recruits had been instructed to prepare their physical conditioning shirts prior to reporting to the academy. When questioned by the staff, the respondent claimed he had previously prepared a stenciled shirt, but had accidentally left it at home. Later, when questioned further, he admitted that he actually did not have a properly prepared shirt at home and had panicked when questioned by staff. The respondent was terminated by the Gilbert Police Department. The respondent admits that his conduct was in violation of post rules, specifically 109A8 and 12. The parties have agreed that the board will temporarily deny respondent's peace officer certification for a period of 24 months during the dates listed, after which he may reapply for certification. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for recruits who have committed similar misconduct. And I'm happy to answer any factual questions.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Any questions? Saying for the record, note Colonel support without agreement for this case. I entertain a motion. He's back.
Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Anaya for a period of 24 months beginning September 16, 2021 and ending September 16, 2023, after which he may be eligible to reapply for certified status.
Thank you, Commander. Honorable, you're a second.
Mr. Chair, John Johnson, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All
right. All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-131. Mr. Duran, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gino Duran. Post staff and the respondent, Gable Boudreau, offer the attached consent agreement for your approval. The respondent is not present to my knowledge and is not represented by counsel. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent's peace officer certification at your meeting on September 21st, 2022. Respondent is a former Flagstaff Police Department recruit. In order to settle this matter, the respondent has acknowledged the following. On July 18, 2022, it was the first day of the Northern Arizona Regional Training Academy. The staff determined that the respondent had failed to email a form to the uniform store in order to pre-order his physical training uniform. An artist staff questioned the respondent, and he was adamant that he had, in fact, submitted the form to the store via email. NARDA staff confirmed with the store that the store had not received the form in question and questioned him further the next day on July 19th. Respondent showed staff an email request sent to the uniform store. However, the email was dated the evening of the day before, which was sent after the first time he was questioned by the NARDA staff about this issue. Respondent was dismissed from NARDA, and he was terminated by the Flagstaff Police Department. Respondent admits that his conduct was in violation of post rules, specifically 109, 8, 8, and 12. The parties have agreed the board will temporarily deny respondent's peace officer certification for a period of 24 months during the dates listed, after which he may reapply for certification. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for police recruits who have committed similar misconduct.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the proposed consent agreement and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Burdock, saying his name wrong, I apologize, for a period of 24 months beginning July 20th, 2022 and ending July 20th, 2024, after which he may be eligible to reapply for certified status.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, second.
Thank you, Dr. Crowell and the Chief. Any further discussion? If there are not, all for the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, going to say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-093. Mr. Duran, back to you.
Gino Duran, your advocate attorney. One last one for me. Staff and the respondent, Justin Truman, offer the attached consent agreement for your review. The respondent, I believe, is present via video.
He's on the phone.
Okay. Oh, he's here. Via telephone. The board voted to, he is not represented by counsel. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent certification at your meeting on April 20th, 2022. Respondent is a former Gilbert Police Department recruit. In order to settle this matter, the respondent has acknowledged the following. On May 3rd, 2022, a Gilbert Police Department Academy sergeant questioned the entire recruit class and asked if any of them had been smoking or vaping or had a smoking or vaping device currently in their locker, which is a violation of academy rules. The sergeant specifically asked respondent if he has ever used a vaping device on academy grounds. Respondent responded he did not. He also denied ever smoking or vaping in the locker room. However, respondent later admitted that he had in fact vaped during the lunch period while on the academy grounds. Respondent was terminated by the Gilbert Police Department. Respondent admits that his conduct was in violation of post rules, specifically 109, 8, and 12. The parties have agreed that the board will temporarily deny respondent's certification for a period of 24 months during the dates listed, after which he may reapply for certification. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for peace officer recruits who have committed similar misconduct. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Any questions for Mr. Ryan? Mr. Truman, do you want to address the board today?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Good morning. Would you have like to address the board? You don't have to, but
yes. Yes, good morning. If you don't mind, I'll take 20 seconds.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. Thank you, board, for allowing me to speak to you today. I understand in this day and age how crucial it is for law enforcement to be held to the highest ethical and moral standard. In the academy, they taught us without integrity, there's no honesty. Without honesty, there's no accountability. Without accountability, there's no excellence. I fully understand that this is a profession where you should be absolutely in your most perfect form and have the absolute most excellence. I believe integrity is the ability to also to admit when you've made a mistake and own up to it. I think at the time, I believe my dishonesty was minimal, but I understand it's not necessarily about the action that I was being dishonest about. It was the lack of integrity I showed about being dishonest. I truly apologize for disrespecting not only my academy staff, but law enforcement professionals as a whole. Being a police officer is something I've always been passionate about. I know law enforcement plays a heavy role in protecting and serving the community. I hate that I have jeopardized my ability to protect and serve those that can't protect themselves. And to be a part of a community that is truly making our country a better place. I will and will always continue to use this incident as a learning lesson. If I'm getting another opportunity to one day be a police officer, that's really it. So thank you for the board for listening to me and allowing me to speak this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Truman. Any questions for Mr. Truman? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chair, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Truman for a period of 24 months beginning May 6, 2022 and ending May 6, 2024, after which he may be eligible to reapply for certified status.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Further discussion? There are none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-100. Mr. Bechtel, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is the final consent agreement for today. This consent agreement is about a recruit who was dishonest to academy staff while he was attending the Western Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy. It was back on May 27, 2022, when an RTO asked recruit Anthony Alvarez if he had shaved that morning. Recruit Alvarez answered dishonestly, "Yes, I shaved," but in reality, he had not shaved. And later on that day, he told academy staff that he had in fact not shaved, that he had in fact been dishonest. Recruit Alvarez was terminated by the Yuma Police Department. The parties agree that Mr. Alvarez's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109A8 and A12. The parties propose a 24-month denial of Recruit Alvarez's peace officer certification for the period of time as indicated in the proposed consent agreement. The denial will be completed in May of 2024, after which date Mr. Alvarez may be eligible to reapply for certified status. He was unavailable to appear here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bracto. Any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Detective Crazier, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Alvarez for a period of 24 months, beginning May 27, 2022, and ending May 27, 2024, after which he may be eligible to reapply for certified status.
Thank you, Detective. Do I hear a second?
Chair, Jamie Kelly.
Second. Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bechtel. Next case, 2022-015. Ms. Michael, there you go. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Michelle Blanco, one of your compliance specialists. The board initiated proceedings against former Tohono O'odham Nation Police Department Officer Jose Luis Duarte on August 17, 2022. Complaint notices were mailed to Officer Duarte by both regular and certified U.S. mail to his address of record. The notice sent by regular mail was returned to his, was not returned to Arizona Post, and the certified letter was delivered to an individual at the address on August 26, 2022. This compliance specialist attempted to contact Officer Duarte at the phone number and email they have communicated previously with no response. To date, neither Officer Duarte nor anyone representing him contacted Arizona Post to request a hearing. To briefly summarize this case, Officer Duarte was untruthful to his supervisor when he left his assigned area early without permission and was on his way home from his patrol shift. Officer Duarte documented his dishonesty in a departmental memorandum to his sergeant. On February 23, 2020, Officer Duarte failed to respond to priority calls for service and failed to answer a call from his supervisor, Sergeant Robledo. Officer Duarte returned his sergeant's phone call and claimed he was in a rural area on the freeway, and he was unable to respond to radio traffic. On February 24, 2020, Officer Duarte called the internal affairs supervisor, Sergeant Cook, and advised He was going to be honest and not lie anymore. Officer Duarte stated he left his assigned area at approximately 0100 hours, drove to San Xavier substation, and clocked out at 0200 hours. Officer Duarte indicated he lied to Sergeant Robledo and dispatch about where he was when they contacted him. Officer Duarte stated he knew it was wrong to leave his assigned area to drive to San Xavier to clock out. Officer Duarte wrote a memo to document this incident that read in part, and I quote, "I told Sergeant Robledo incorrect information in immediate fear knowing I had made a poor decision. I told him I did not hear the radio traffic due to being in a rough area for signal. I lied to Sergeant Robledo in telling him what time I left the main nation," unquote. Sergeant Cook recommended termination. However, Officer Duarte resigned on March 19, 2020. Based on the facts of this case, Arizona Post staff recommends the board revoke Officer Duarte's peace officer certification. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Any questions? If not, I'll make a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Vasquez, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Duarte's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, I'll second.
Thank you, Detective. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Next case, 2021-154. Mr. Caldwell, good morning.
Chairman, members of the board, good morning. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This is the final action case for Christopher Panton. The board initiated proceedings against Panton's peace officer certification on August 17, 2022. Complaint notices were sent to his address of record via regular and certified mail. The one sent by regular mail was not returned to AZ Post, and the one sent by certified mail was delivered on August 26, 2022. To date, neither Panton nor anyone representing him contacted Post to request a hearing. To briefly summarize this case, in 2019, Mr. Panton resigned from the Phoenix Police Department after having performance issues during field training. In 2021, he applied with the Central Arizona College Police Department and was appointed by the agency after a background investigation. Arizona Post staff reviewed Panton's file and asked for clarification on an issue involving his arrest by the Tempe Police Department in 1999. When Central Arizona looked into the matter, they discovered discrepancies in the information Panton provided them during the hiring process, including the following. He failed to disclose five law enforcement agencies he had applied to. Actually, one of those agencies, Mesa PD, disqualified him for making inconsistent statements in the hiring process with them. He also reported no uses of another person's prescription medication during the Central Arizona hiring process. This was inconsistent with applications he previously made to Phoenix and Maricopa County. He also failed to disclose the 1999 incident where he was arrested by Tempe PD for assault, and he neglected to divulge a previous driver's license suspension. Panton was questioned by Central Arizona College and cited confusion for the reason he failed to report his arrest in 1999. Central Arizona determined Panton was untruthful during the hiring process, and when they submitted the termination report for him, they alleged misconduct on his part. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke Panton's peace officer certification. I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Any questions? Now we entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusion of law and revoke Mr. Panton's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do we hear a second?
I'll second that, sir.
Thank you, Detective. Any further discussion? There are none in favor of the motion, saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Next case and final case for final actions, 2021-089. Ms. Hollis.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Hawes, one of your compliance specialists. You initiated proceedings on Manuel Castro at the board meeting on August 17, 2022. The complaint was sent to Castro's address of record on August 24, 2022 by both regular mail and certified mail. On September 15, 2022, the certified letter was returned to Post as unclaimed. neither the original courtesy letter or the original complaint letter sent by regular mail were ever returned to post. After numerous attempts by both email and voicemail to try to get a hold of Mr. Castro. To refresh your memory, on September 30th, 2020, Manuel Castro, formerly with the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office, used ACEGIS for other than law enforcement purposes when he called on his personal cell and had an Nogales Police Department dispatcher run the plate on a vehicle he saw parked in front of the post office in Nogales. He knew the vehicle did not belong to him because he had signed the title over to Victor on June 1st, 2020 in exchange for work Victor had performed on Castro's property. After he finished his assigned shift at 2220 hours on September 30th, 2020, he went home, changed clothes, went back and took possession of the vehicle without anyone's permission and took it to his sister's house. Later in the day, on October 1st, 2020, after he had removed the car from his sister's house and took it back to his house, hid it behind his house, and removed the license plate, he fraudulently obtained a copy of the original title. He indicated to MVD he had no longer had the original one and proceeded to sign the vehicle over to his wife, Ebony, which should not have been done since the vehicle was no longer his. In Chief Bermudez's intent to terminate memo to Castro dated May 4, 2021, he wrote, quote, "Officer Castro, during your interview with Sergeant Gallego, you were adamant that in your eyes this was a civil matter. This could well have been a civil matter until you decided to deprive Victor of his vehicle and tow it without his consent, then knowing full well that the original, that you had already transferred ownership to Victor, trying to conceal the original transfer to Victor by transferring ownership to your wife. To date, no one has reached out to post to request a hearing. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke Chief Officer certification for Manuel Castro. I'd be happy to answer this question.
Thank you, Ms. Hollis. Any questions? Now, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Castro's Peace Officer certification.
Thank you, Detective. Do I hear a second?
Captain Rule, second.
Thank you, Commander. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, I say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Hollis.
Thank you.
Under next gen item, new cases. First case 2022-037. Sprinkle, back to you.
Michelle Blanco, Auditor Compliance Specialist again. This case involves former Pima County Sheriff's Department Detective Joseph Borges. On December 11, 2021, Detective Borges and his wife went to a restaurant after consuming a large quantity of alcohol throughout the day. He was observed making derogatory homophobic comments at one point, allegedly grabbing the neck of a man who he believed to be homosexual. Detective Borges left the establishment and was seen acting erratically, punching a sign, and appeared to briefly fall asleep at a bus stop. He then attempted to enter another establishment alone and was denied entry due to his intoxication. Detective Borges was intoxicated and directed both racially motivated and threatening language and gestures towards restaurant employees. Please refer to your case note number 15 for specific profane language. Due to these threats, management called police multiple times. Tucson Police Department responded and contacted Detective Borges, who initially refused to identify himself verbally and with identification. He later revealed he was a cop and worked for the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Officers had requested a Pima County Sheriff's Department supervisor to respond to the scene to identify the detective. Detective Borges was cited and released for 3 counts of disorderly conduct and 2 counts of threatening and intimidation, both Class 1 misdemeanors. On February 23, 2022, Detective Borges was served with an intent of termination memorandum. However, Detective Borges resigned on March 4th of 2022. As part of a plea agreement, Detective Borges entered into a monitored diversion program and agreed to attend anger management classes. At the completion of this agreement, his case was dismissed by the Tucson City Court on March 17, 2022. Detective Borges' Arizona Peace Officer certification was previously suspended from October 21st to October 23rd of 2019 related to a domestic violence arrest. The Arizona Post Board adopted a consent agreement for a 30-hour retroactive suspension. Based on these facts of this case, Arizona Post staff recommends the board to initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Any questions? If not, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Officers, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Borges as Peace Officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-152. Ms. Bronco, back to you.
This case involves former Pima County Sheriff's Department Deputy Recruit Ulysses Paleo. Recruit Paleo began the hiring process with the Pima County Sheriff's Department in March of 2022 and was appointed for the position of deputy on August 23rd of 2022. During the new hire audit on the following day, I noted discrepancies in the background document submitted by the Pima County Sheriff's Department. During the background investigation, Pima County Sheriff's Department discovered Recruit Paleo applied to the Arizona DPS in January of 2022. While in the hiring process with DPS, he admitted during his pre-employment polygraph examination on February 11th that at age 18, he had sex with his 16-year-old girlfriend. At age 20, he had sex with his 17-year-old girlfriend. And in 2017, he masturbated at work in his work van, which had its own bathroom on two occasions. DPS disqualified Recruit Paleo from their hiring process due to masturbation from at work on February 26th. Recruit Paleo submitted his Pima County Sheriff's Department application March of 2022. However, he failed to disclose sex with a minor or masturbation at work. Recruit Paleo underwent a polygraph examination on March 24th with Pima County Sheriff's Department. He answered no on his polygraph questionnaire when he was directly asked if, as an adult, have you ever had sex with a minor, and if you were ever involved in sexual activity at work, including masturbation. During the polygraph examination interview, Recruit Paleo did disclose while in high school he was 18, he had sex with his 17-year-old girlfriend, and he masturbated in a porta pot while in the military. These disclosures were not located anywhere else in the Pima County Sheriff's Department background. Recruit Paleo was confronted with these omissions during his background interview, to which he stated he overlooked the masturbation incident. Recruit Paleo did not offer an explanation why he disclosed these incidents in January during the DPS hiring process, but failed to disclose these items in March during the Pima County Sheriff's process. Recruit Paleo was terminated by the Pima County Sheriff's Department on September 8th of 2022. Based on these facts of the case, Arizona Post staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Michael. Any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings to deny police officer certification to Mr. Paleo.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any discussion? Hear none. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Bronco. Next case, 2022-012. Mr. Caldwell, back to you.
Chairman, members of the board, Bill Caldwell again. This case involves Kevin Lamoureux, formerly of the Safford Police Department. In January 2022, Officer Lamoureux's wife reported she had been assaulted by her husband during a series of domestic-related incidents between September and December of 2021. She provided photographs documenting physical injuries she suffered, as well as a text message apparently sent by Lamoureux, where he admitted to kicking and pushing her. Lamoureux denied assaulting his wife and said she had actually been physically aggressive towards him. On January 8, 2022, he was served with an emergency protection order that prohibited him from going to his wife's residence. He violated that order near 0130 hours on January 10, 2022. This was corroborated by his own statements to Safford PD personnel, including the chief of police, as well as information from his wife and mother. Lamoureux was criminally charged with domestic-related assault, disorderly conduct, and failure to comply with a court order, although all charges were later dismissed without prejudice when his wife told prosecutors she made up the allegations against him. Safford PD sustained allegations against Officer Lamoureux for various policy violations, and he resigned in lieu of termination. On July 25, 2022, Lamoureux sent an email to Arizona Post staff admitting he, quote, technically, unquote, violated the order of protection on January 10th, and his wife was pushed during an argument that occurred sometime around Christmas of 2021. In August of 2022, Lamoureux was involved in another incident, or another domestic incident, with his now ex-wife. They apparently got divorced between the time the report was filed and then the second one, second incident in August. The police reported the case on August 4th, 2022. She went on a date with another person. After the date was over, Lamoureux stopped his ex with his truck, pulled her from the vehicle, took her keys and cellular phone, and shoved his hands down her pants, saying he was going to find out if she had sexual relations earlier in the evening. He then left the scene, but later confronted his ex again at the home of her babysitter. The reporting officer noted a sexual assault may have occurred. At the time I wrote this overview, my understanding was that Pima PD was still actively investigating the case, but I don't have a status of it at this time. And based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Questions? Seeing none, I entertain a motion.
Sir, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Lamoureux's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-129. Mr. Caldwell, back to you.
Chairman, members of the board. On July 7, 2022, near 0700 hours, Detective Lipsky reported for work with the Surprise Police Department. Over the course of the morning, he was seen drinking from a plastic convenience store cup, and near 1000 hours, a supervisor detected the odor of alcohol coming from Detective Lipsky's person. PSU investigators noticed the same odor and saw he still had the plastic cup with him. Detective Lipsky was notified he would be tested for alcohol use. He asked permission to use the restroom, and when he emerged from the facilities, he was no longer carrying the plastic cup. Surprise personnel searched Detective Lipsky's assigned vehicle and found a bag from a Quick Trip convenience store containing two full and one empty Mike's Harder lemonade cans. Mike's Harder lemonade is an alcoholic beverage, and Surprise personnel also located Detective Lipsky's plastic cup in the men's room. It, too, contained what appeared to be Mike's Harder lemonade. Testing at a medical clinic indicated Detective Lipsky's blood alcohol concentration at the time was 0.049. He was sent home and placed on administrative leave, but denied multiple requests to participate in an interview with professional standards investigators. SPD sustained allegations against him relating to possession and consumption of alcohol while on duty, and he resigned in lieu of termination. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions? Now, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, may I interrupt the board just for a second on this case? I apologize. Mark Miracle. And you'll address this with your IA and Mr. Caldwell, but I'd like to, I think I caught something. The allegation says July 19th, and was it July 7th, the date of the incident? If it is, then you can move to amend it in this meeting, and the RIA can advise on how to do that. And if it's not, then I apologize for interrupting. So, Mr. Chairman, it's really a question to Mr. Caldwell.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, it looks like I did make a mistake. The date of TM for the termination report was July 19th, and the date of the incident was actually July 7th.
Thank you for the correction on that. Thank you, Mr. Bracto, for being attended. That's good. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson.
I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Lamoureux's peace officer certification.
I'm sorry.
Which one? Is it the wrong one? I move to initiate proceedings. I apologize. I did the truth.
That's right.
I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Lipsky's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Jamie.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say aye. Nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case. Thank you, Mr. Cobo.
Yes, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr.
Do we need to have a motion to amend the date of the allegation?
I thought we... Do we need to run the...
Yeah, you do need... Yes, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, you do need a motion to amend. That's all you need.
Okay. Let's kind of flip backwards, but we'll give you that. Okay, motion to correct the dates. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to correct the date, as noted by Mr. Bracktell, to Mr. Caldwell, going from, was it the 7th to the 19th?
Yes.
From
7th
to the
19th. Second. Thank you, Carl. Who did the second? Joe Preferi. Thank you, Director.
Clarification. It was, the date was listed as the 19th, and it should have been the 7th.
Correct. Any further discussion? No? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Thank you. Thank you for that correction. Next case, 2022-031. Mr. Delton, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton, one of the compliance specialists. This case involves former Maricopa PD officer Craig Curry. On December 6, 2021, a citizen spoke with Maricopa police officer Craig Curry during a call for service. 3 days later, on December 9th, the citizen complained that Officer Curry was flirtatious and inappropriate in his conduct with her. On December 13th, Maricopa PD initiated an investigation into the citizen's allegations. Officer Curry was served with a notice of investigation, or NOI, and given a direct order not to access internal records. The next day, Officer Curry accessed his body worn camera as well as the report information about the call from December 6th. During a subsequent interview with Lieutenant Elliott, Officer Curry was untruthful when he told her he had no idea what the complaint was about when he had looked up the case 18 hours prior to the interview. Officer Curry was also dishonest in an email to the Internal Affairs Investigator, Sergeant Chance Jordan, when he stated he accessed the body cam video so he could label it. However, he did not label it the first or second time that he viewed it, and it was not until the third time he accessed it that he actually labeled it. Maricopa PD found the citizen's allegations were not sustained. However, it was determined that Officer Curry was in violation of not recording the entire December 6th contact, not uploading his body-worn camera at the end of his shift, and he was found to be untruthful and insubordinate during the investigative process. On February 24, 2022, Officer Curry's employment with the Maricopa Police Department was terminated. Officer Curry appealed his termination from the civil service process, and his termination was upheld. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Elton. Any questions? If not, I entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Curry's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Elton. Next case, 2022-168. Mr. Martinez, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman and Board members. I'm Darren Martinez, one of your compliance specialists. I'm here to present case 2022-168 involving former Yavapai Prescott Tribal Police Department Officer Cody Davis. Officer Davis was employed with the Yavapai Prescott Tribal Police Department for approximately 5 months. During his employment, it was brought to Lieutenant Dan Smith's attention that Officer Davis was possibly not completing all of his assigned duties while on shift. On the morning of August 30th, 2022, Lieutenant Smith observed Officer Davis parked in the police parking lot for an extended period of time. Lieutenant Smith checked the database for officer and dispatcher input activity, which indicated that Officer Davis had self-assigned a community-based policing neighborhood check at 12:41 a.m. and stayed assigned to that call until 3:15 a.m. During that time, the patrol vehicle assigned to Officer Davis never moved from the police parking lot. The vehicle remained parked and did not move until approximately 7:14 a.m. Based on this revelation and the previous information brought to Lieutenant Smith's attention, an internal investigation was initiated and Officer Davis was placed on administrative leave. The internal investigation included a review of Officer Davis's daily activities and vehicle locations. The investigation revealed that between July 3rd, 2022 and August 30th, 2022, Officer Davis was dishonest when he falsified police department records 13 times to reflect self-generated neighborhood business and other extra community patrols that he did not actually conduct. The investigation further showed that Officer Davis spent extended amounts of time outside the reservation boundaries and not responding to calls for service, which he did not appropriately log. This includes at least two times when Officer Davis left the reservation to go to his girlfriend's house, leaving the reservation unattended without supervisory permission. When interviewed, Officer Davis admitted to creating and self-assigning false calls, which he did not conduct, as well as other activities he was required to do during his shift. The investigation concluded that Officer Davis was negligent in his duties as a police officer and falsified official police department records. As such, Officer Davis violated Yavapai Prescott Tribal and Bureau of Indian Affairs policy. On September 22, 2022, Officer Davis's employment was terminated. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Davis, peace officer certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second.
Thank you, Detective. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Martinez, thank you. Good luck to you, all right?
And Mr. Chairman, I need to announce on this next case, the number on your records is incorrect. I was to report this earlier and I forgot, but the next case, number 7 on your agenda, is 2022-084, not 008. For Kyle Selinsky.
You're official Sandy here, right on mine, so thank you, Sandy. So, but thank
like
you.
I tell you, she's 2 or 3 steps ahead of me every time.
I see her first before I see you. So. All right, next case. 2022-084. Ms. Nichols, good morning.
Good morning, welcome. Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Darcy Nichols, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Aberdale Police Officer Kyle Selinsky. Officers Selinsky and Swatton responded to an unwanted person's call. That person, Blondie, was the adult son of the homeowner. Blondie was reportedly in an upstairs bedroom, acting strangely and saying things that didn't make sense. Blondie didn't reside at the home, and the homeowner and her roommates wanted Blondie to leave. However, he refused. When officers made contact with Blondie, he was laying on the bed with his arms folded behind his head, and his legs bent so that the bottoms of his feet were resting on the bed. He maintained this position throughout their contact. Blondie told the officers he wouldn't leave the home and then lived there. He was uncooperative and belligerent at times. After several minutes of communicating with Blondie and being met with verbal resistance, Officer Swanton reached across the bed and touched Blondie's upper arm. Blondie remained in the same position on the bed. However, Officer Swanton reported that he tensed his arms and hands. Officer Swanton moved away from Blondie, and Officer Selinsky pointed his taser at him. Officer Swanton requested an additional backup officer respond to assist them. For approximately 2 minutes, the officers repeatedly ordered Blondie to turn over on his stomach and place his hands behind his back. When he didn't comply, Officer Selinsky deployed his taser, striking Blondie in the upper rib cage. One of the probes failed to penetrate Blondie's clothing, so Officer Selinsky deployed a second cartridge, also striking Blondie in the upper rib cage. Blondie fell to the floor between the bed and the wall. Officer Selinsky deployed the taser 8 more times while Officer Swanton attempted to handcuff Blondie. Once handcuffed, Officer Swanton told Officer Selinsky to stop tasing Blondie. The medical attention was provided. I'd like to show you a video at this time, and in the interest of time, the video begins just before Officer Swanton reaches out and touches Blondie's upper arm. And then shortly after seeing that, you'll also see a space filler indicating a 2-minute time frame. that time passing. And during that 2 minutes, Lonzo remained in the same position on the bed and continues to be verbally noncompliant while the officers repeatedly give him commands to turn over on his stomach and put his hands behind his back. I've got the full video as well. If after seeing the abbreviated version, you'd like to see that.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols.
Conducted a criminal investigation and neither officer participated. Lonzo was interviewed and told investigators that he felt wronged, but he didn't wish to pursue criminal charges. The Peoria police detectives concluded that the taser incapacitated Lonzo in a manner that physically restrained him. A request to charge Officer Solinsky with aggravated assault was submitted to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. However, charges were declined due to no likelihood of conviction. The Avondale Police Department initiated an administrative investigation and unsuccessfully attempted to contact Officer Solinsky to serve him with a notice of investigation. Later that same day, Officer Solinsky submitted a letter of resignation. Officer Swanton participated in the administrative investigation. He told officers that Lonzo progressed from being verbally noncompliant to tensing his body when he was touched, causing him to believe that Lonzo was going to start fighting. He said Lonzo was laying in the same position on the bed as he had been throughout the entire contact when Officer Solinsky deployed the taser. Officer Swatney believed Lonzo had enough time to comply with commands given by both officers in between taser deployments. He thought Officer Solinsky had deployed his taser 2 to 3 times and recalled telling him to stop tasing Lonzo once he had control of his hands. It wasn't until Officer Swanton later learned how many times the taser had been deployed that he became concerned about the force used. Avondale Professional Standards Bureau Lieutenant Varney Lopez, who is also an AP Post Defensive Tactics and Impact Weapons instructor, reviewed the call materials and concluded, Officer Solinsky didn't justify his reasons for using force in his departmental documentation based on departmental policy. No active aggression by Lonzo was observed leading up to the taser deployment. Officer Solinsky didn't give Lonzo time to comply between taser activations as they were immediate. Lieutenant Lopez did not see Lonzo tense when touched by Officer Swatton. Lieutenant Lopez believed that Lonzo exhibited no perceived threat at the time and never reached the level of active aggression. Lieutenant Lopez believed a reasonable officer would have concerns with the use of force utilized in this situation. Officer Solinsky was previously employed as a certified officer in Colorado and had also attended the Phoenix Regional Police Academy prior to becoming a sworn officer with the Avondale Police Department. Officer Solinsky had received taser and use of force training prior to this incident, as well as reviewed and acknowledged policies related to both. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? And then I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Zielinski's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, Joe Porfiri, I second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Nichols.
Thank you.
Next case, 2022-109. Mr. Shea, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Tim Shea, compliance specialist, presenting case involving Officer Marco Conez of the Arizona Department of Transportation Enforcement and Compliance Division. During December 2021, a customer took her vehicle to the ADOT Tucson Regional Office for an empty inspection. During the inspection, she had contact with Officer Conez. After speaking with him, the customer told another ADOT employee that Conez had spoken to her inappropriately. The customer later told ADOT internal investigators that Officer Conez told her she was beautiful, recommended she apply for a job, asked if she had a husband or boyfriend, asked if she intended to marry her boyfriend, and told her that he and the customer could stay in touch. The customer said she was scared and wanted to leave because Conez was old enough to be her father. Conez told investigators he did not make inappropriate comments to the customer and adamantly denied the customer's allegations, saying she must have been mad at him for making her move her vehicle to a different inspection bay. During the investigation, seven female employees who work with and around Conez described incidents where he asked them for their phone numbers, to go out to coffee, dinner, or happy hour, or commented on their hair, clothing, or perfume. Three of those female employees said they were not offended by his comments. However, four of the female employees said they were bothered by his comments and they tried to avoid him. On or around Halloween 2021, Conez made a comment to a female coworker regarding a prostate exam. The female coworker was wearing a mad scientist costume and rubber gloves at the time, and the coworker responded with a comment about a colonoscopy. The coworker told investigators she was embarrassed when Conez made the comment, and she responded similarly, even though it was not in her nature to do so. Despite a witness telling investigators that Conez initiated the comment about the prostate exam, Conez denied he initiated the conversation and said the female coworker first commented about the colonoscopy, and he replied with a comment about a prostate exam. Conez said he has never invited any employee or customer out on a date, but confirmed he has received telephone numbers from employees as what he called mutual agreement. He said any phone numbers he has obtained were done so voluntarily, and he has not commented on anyone's clothing or appearance other than to say they look nice today. ADOT investigators asked Conez why multiple women, some of whom do not know one another, would make these allegations at the same time. Conez said, quote, "You know, opportunistic. What happens with a copycat effect? It's interesting that all of a sudden, all these women had to wait for me to have a false accusation from a customer, and all of a sudden, everybody is jumping on board," end quote. ADOT investigators asked him why someone would want to do that to him, and Conez said, quote, "Why would someone not want to make up lies? I don't know. I can't tell you that. I can't answer that. All I know is that what I'm telling you is the truth. Can you prove me wrong? Can they prove me wrong?" End quote. Witnesses provided investigators with information on five former employees whom they had reason to believe Conez had made similar comments to, but since those employees were no longer employed by ADOT, they were not contacted. The investigation found the allegations of sexual harassment were substantiated, as there was a pattern of unwelcome and unreciprocated comments and direct requests for dates by Officer Conez to at least seven employees. Officer Conez received a 40-hour suspension and is currently still employed at ADOT ECD. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Any comments, discussion on this one? Not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Jamie Kelly, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Conyers' peace officer certification.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion and or comments? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, aye, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-097. Mr. Shea, back to you.
This case will involve former Sergeant David James of the Apache Junction Police Department. During August 2021, Sergeant James provided backup for an officer who had stopped a vehicle in a gas station parking lot for a traffic violation.
During the stop, Carl, an unrelated motorist, stopped his vehicle at a gas pump nearest the traffic stop. Carl exited his vehicle and moved toward the front bumper, holding his phone in a position which would indicate he was taking photos or recording video. At this time, Sergeant James had his back to Carl and was watching the activities of the traffic stop. Corporal Gearhart warned Sergeant James three times that Carl was too close to his position. Each time, Sergeant James turned and told Carl he needed to move to the rear of his own car, thus providing a safer distance between Sergeant James and Carl. Carl did not move to the rear of his car and was ultimately arrested. Sergeant James authored an incident report detailing the arrest and later participated in a defense interview with Carl's criminal defense attorney. In the incident report and defense interview, Sergeant James said that after Corporal Gearhart warned him the third time about Carl being too close, he turned to find Carl within arm's reach and estimated he was approximately 5 feet away. During the defense interview, he was asked if he moved from his position toward Carl, and Sergeant James said he did not have to move and basically rotated his position. Surveillance video, which became available several months after the arrest and after the defense interview, showed Sergeant James had moved toward Carl, and an AJPIA investigation began. I'm going to ask Dale to put up the security video showing the parking lot and traffic stop, but I want to provide a little context before he presses play. As you can see where the traffic stop is located, uniformed officers are near the front of the sedan, which is the vehicle which was subject to the original traffic stop. The pickup behind that vehicle is the unmarked vehicle which was used to initiate the traffic stop. The uniformed officer on the passenger side of the car near the front is Corporal Gearhart, and the uniformed officer on the driver's side is Sergeant James, closest to the camera. What you can't see is the original officer and driver who are standing at the rear of the car talking as they're obscured by the gas pumps. However, you are able to see their shadows just in front of the pickup. Now that I've kind of set that stage just a little bit, I'm going to ask Dale, go ahead and play the video and I'll provide some additional explanation. You will see Gearhart and James move toward the rear of the car. You'll see them go behind the gas pumps where they'll remain on their respective sides of the car. Soon you're going to see a small hatchback pull into the gas pumps near the traffic stop. That is Carl. As you watch, you'll eventually see him exit his vehicle, and if you watch closely, you'll see some small movements through the gas pumps which put him near the front driver's side of his vehicle. And I apologize for the length of the video, but I think it's important to gain the context. Over the next minute or so, Corporal Gearhart will warn Sergeant James three times that Carl is right behind him. Sergeant James will turn and tell Carl to move towards the rear of his vehicle. Eventually, you will see Carl move laterally across the front of the vehicle and stop near the passenger side. And that's probably going to be another 30 seconds or so, so we'll wait until it gets to that point. Upon Corporal Gearhart providing his third and final warning, Sergeant James turns and approaches Carl. Based upon video and witness testimony, it appears Sergeant James took approximately 3 steps toward Carl, and Carl took approximately 2 steps towards Sergeant James. Sergeant James again tells Carl he needs to move back to the back of his car, but Carl does not comply. Unfortunately, this is when the dairy truck shows up and obscures a lot of what you would like to have seen. As Sergeant James tells him to move to the rear of his car, Carl instead raises his right hand, which is holding his cell phone, places it under the brim of Sergeant James' hat, touching either Sergeant James' nose or the brim of his cap. Sergeant James then attempts to take Carl into custody, and that was about the moment the dairy truck passed. But Carl tensed up, failed to submit, and was eventually taken to the ground by Corporal Gearhart and another officer who placed him in handcuffs. The rest of the video is them simply standing him up and walking into a patrol car. After Carl's arrest, he was charged with failure to comply with police, criminal nuisance, hindering prosecution, and resisting arrest. Sergeant James authored the arrest report. The AJP investigation determined Sergeant James had misapplied the failure to comply with police officer statute, as it is in Title 28 code intended to regulate traffic, and this misapplication of the statute rendered the other charges invalid. During the IA investigation, Sergeant James was shown the surveillance video for the first time. IA investigators questioned Sergeant James about his movement toward Carl and why he inferred in his arrest report that he had not taken steps. Sergeant James said he was unaware he had taken steps toward Carl, but he had not authored his arrest report intending to document the specific movement, as he had already documented Carl's proximity and Sergeant James' belief that Carl was close enough to present an officer safety hazard. IA investigators asked Sergeant James why, in his defense interview, he said he had not moved toward Carl, and Sergeant James said he did not realize he had moved toward Carl, and he had not seen the surveillance video at the time of the defense interview. Sergeant James said once that he saw the video, he realized he did move toward Carl, but that Carl had disobeyed what Sergeant James believed to be a lawful order three times and was well within what any reasonable officer would believe was too close after being told multiple times to move away. When IA investigators asked Sergeant James why Carl was not charged with aggravated assault on a police officer, even though Carl placed his phone under his cap brim and touched his nose, Sergeant James said that in his experience with prosecutors' willingness to charge aggravated assault on police, he did not believe this would have met their charging criteria, and he feared it would appear, quote, chintzy. However, Sergeant James agreed the actions of placing the phone under his cap and touching his nose were wrong and were against the law. AJPD terminated Sergeant James for misapplying the failure to comply police statute and for using different descriptions to articulate a reasonable distance in his police report, defense attorney interview, and interview with IA. His termination was upheld at the Apache Junction Personnel Action Appeal hearing. Criminal charges against Carl were dismissed by the Apache Junction City Prosecutor's Office. The distances in question between Sergeant James and Carl ranged from approximately 15 to 20 feet at Carl's arrival to as little as 5 to 10 feet when Sergeant James turned to approach Carl. Despite finding Sergeant James had used different descriptions to articulate a reasonable distance in his police report, defense attorney interview, and interview with IA, the AJPD investigation stated in three separate places that it was unknown whether Sergeant James intentionally related different accounts during his defense attorney interview. Based upon these facts, Arizona Post staff members are not making a recommendation on which action the board should take in this case. I'd be happy to answer any questions if there's any portion of the video that you'd like to see again.
Thank you. Any questions, comments?
He's looking at me, so I think you know what I'm going to ask. I don't even know where to begin with how many things I see wrong with this case. Failure to comply with a law enforcement officer, ARS 28622. I think the interpretation of application, I don't know that I necessarily agree with what Apache Junction is saying in this case and how it's been applied over the course of the last 30 years in Arizona law enforcement. Quite frankly, I think the sergeant showed a great deal of restraint. The fact he didn't charge aggravated assault, I think culturally in Arizona law enforcement, that's a sentiment that has been stated multiple times. Ag assaults take place on police officers in this state all the time, and they don't get charged. So I just tell you, I know I'm voting on this. I have problems with this whole case. I'm kind of surprised it's even coming before our board. I don't know. Tim, have you gotten to talk to the sergeant at all? What was his take on this? Did he feel he needed to be contrite, or did he? What was his take on the whole situation?
What I described in here, I think, accurately portrays the information you provided to me that was similar to what he provided in the report. I would say that he did not feel he was at all dishonest. He did not feel that anything he did was intended to show a lack of movement toward the suspect as opposed to simply show where the suspect was.
I watched a video where these guys are conducting police business and really are not trying to have any issues. And this guy closes in on him, and then the corporal warns him, what, no less than three times, you said?
Yes, sir.
That the guy was that close to him to cause that much concern?
Yes, sir.
That another law enforcement officer is warning him
yes.
about the distance?
Yeah.
stop there.
We read you well. Any other comments?
To the comments point, was Carl contacted as part of AJPD's internal, and he presumably had a cell phone, as mentioned. Was there record or recording of the encounter on his phone?
AJPD did a forensic examination of the phone. They did not find video or photos or any evidence that any video or photos were altered or deleted. Past that, I can only guess as to whether he pushed the button or didn't push the button.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other comments? Not I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to close this case with no action.
Thank you, Detective. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, same saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same saying nay. Chair votes aye. Carries. Thank you. Mr. Shea, next case and final case, 2021-206. Mr. Deport, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Dave Deport, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Maricopa County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Leonard. In November 2021, Arizona Post received an amended termination report regarding Deputy Leonard. The report indicated that MCSO was aware of conduct that may violate AZ Post rules. The determination was based on an administrative investigation, which was the result of a citizen's complaint. The citizen voiced concern that he and his neighbor, Mr. Frank T., had about deputies' response to past calls for service regarding a neighborhood dispute, which possibly contributed to a fatal shooting that occurred on March 10, 2020. That incident involved Mr. Frank T. fatally shooting Mr. Isidro M. The citizen added that a deputy failed to take law enforcement action against a trespasser at a call for service initiated by his neighbor Frank T. because the deputy believed the trespasser likely did not speak English. The complaint was sent to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Professional Standards Bureau for investigation. The investigation revealed that on July 3, 2019, Deputy Leonard had responded to a call for service initiated by Mr. Frank T., who was reporting that Mr. Isidro M. had assaulted him. Deputy Leonard documented the incident under an MCSO incident report. The investigator compared the body-worn camera recordings to the written incident report and noted several areas of concern related to how the call for service was handled. These concerns included failing to include in the report the statement of Frank that Isidro attempted to grab him prior to grabbing his phone, that Isidro attempted to knock an audio recorder from the hand of Frank, that a witness was present during the incident, that Frank had photographs and video of the incident, that a conversation with a witness, possible trespassing suspect, occurred when contact with Isidro was attempted, and failing to collect items of evidence such as cell phone video, audio recordings, photographs, and surveillance video of the incident. The investigator also recapped the initial call for service with Deputy Leonard, where Frank T. explained that he was involved in an ongoing dispute and lawsuit concerning easement, access on his property, and was not allowing people to trespass on his property. Frank described how Isidro, along with another male, drove onto his property, and when Frank went outside and took photographs of Isidro, Isidro got back in his truck, backed up, and attempted to run him over. Frank also described how Isidro smacked an audio recorder from his hand, as well as taking Frank's cell phone when he attempted to video the encounter. Deputy Leonard indicated that he would document the situation and indicated that no crime had been committed. Frank disagreed with Deputy Leonard's assessment and stated that Isidro was trespassing as well as having assaulted him. While discussing the incident with his supervisor, Deputy Leonard said that he could write it up and submit it to the county attorney because, quote, clearly he grabbed his phone, unquote. Deputy Leonard went back to the residence and had further conversation with Frank. Deputy Leonard said that he was going to document the incident and send it to the county attorney for a charging decision, and additionally suggested that Frank obtain an order against Isidro. When discussing the trespassing charge, Deputy Leonard said, quote, that would be a lesser charge than the assault I'm going to charge him with, unquote. As Frank expressed his concern, Deputy Leonard explained that he was going to interview Isidro and tell him not to come back or he would be in violation of this case. Deputy Leonard went on to say that Isidro would not be allowed to come down and may have and have any contact with Frank, as it was an ongoing matter. On September 5th, 2019, Deputy Leonard spoke with Isidro by telephone via an interpreter. During the interview, Isidro admitted to being on the disputed property and grabbing a cell phone out of Frank's hand. Isidro said that he told Frank that he was trying, Isidro said that he had told Frank that he was trying to leave and Frank was standing behind his vehicle preventing him from leaving. After approximately 1 minute, Frank moved and Isidro drove home. After the interview with Isidro, Deputy Leonard wrote in his supplement, quote, based on my interview with the victim, suspect, and review of the security video footage, I determined that no crime were committed. No charges will be filed in this report, and this report was taken for information only. Unquote. On November 16, 2020, MCSO Professional Standards Bureau investigators conducted a post-Garrity interview with Deputy Leonard. During the interview, Deputy Leonard was asked how the investigation was closed. Deputy Leonard explained that he had talked with a detective supervisor and was told that no assault occurred, so no charges would be filed. When asked if the detective sergeant had enough information about the case, including the surveillance video, to decide whether an assault occurred, Deputy Leonard said no. When asked if he informed Frank of his decision after telling him the case would be submitted to the county attorney, Deputy Leonard indicated that he had not. When asked why he had told Frank that Isidro was going to be prohibited from returning to the property, Deputy Leonard said that he had misstated his words and meant to say that he was going to recommend to Isidro M. that he not return. The administrative investigation resulted in sustained policy violations concerning the quality of the initial investigation, preventing racial and other bias-based policing and code of conduct. These violations also result in Arizona Post Rules violations, as described in the overview. It should be noted that in May 2020, Deputy Leonard also received a written reprimand for failing to conduct a proper investigation in a separate investigation. In that incident, investigators noted Deputy Leonard failed to interview a potential suspect and include pertinent details of the in the incident report. On September 30th, 2021, Reserve Deputy Leonard, he had retired from the Sheriff's Office as a compensated deputy and became a reserve as this was going on, was terminated from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate the proceeding, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Roy. Any questions? Here now, I initiate our a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Leonard's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Detective. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oscus, I second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Or none? All in favor of the motion, say saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you for your support. Future agenda items. Director?
So I'd like to just reiterate that there's no meeting in December, and we will try to meet January as brief as possible.
Thank you, Director. Any final comments from board members? Wish everybody a blessed Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. We'll see you all in 2023. I take a motion to adjourn. Thank you, Director. See you all later.